1. From Putney Mainline Station, right down Putney High Street to Putney Bridge, 15 minutes. Arnold Bennett was a constant visitor and sometime resident of Putney. He set his intriguing 1908 novel, Buried Alive, in Putney, with the protagonist Prime Farr living at 29 Werter Road, just along from the modern store Sainsbury's. Part of their premises were used as munitions box factory during the First World War, mainly staffed by women. Bennett's novel is given a new dramatisation in Track 3. The character Prime Farr describes Edwardian Putney.
It lay on the slope of a hill whose foot was washed by a glorious stream entitled the Thames, its breast covered with picturesque barges and ornamental rowing boats. Putney had a street of handsome shops, a purely business street. No one slept there now because of the noise of motors. At eventide the street glittered in its own splendours. There were theatre, music hall, assembly rooms, concert hall, market, brewery, library, and an afternoon tea shop exactly like Regent Street, churches and chapels.
Just past Disraeli Road, on the site of the Oxfam and Trinity Hospice charity shops, was Laurel House, the home where Jenny Lind, the opera singer, known as the Swedish Nightingale, lived for 2 years or so in the 1850s. To your right, down Disraeli Road, is Putney Library. Crossing Disraeli Road, on the opposite side of the High Street, between Norroy and Chelverton Roads, are a row of gargoyle-type heads of Disraeli and Lord Palmerston on the facias of shops known as Salisbury Pavement, built on the site and land of a large house called The Lawn, which stretched back to Charwood Road. Just before the body shop is Token Yard, a cobbled alley leading to mews buildings which would have been the stables for the shops. A butcher's in the High Street would have had its own livestock, such as sheep, grazed on the commons and driven down Putney Hill to its own slaughterhouse at the back of the premises. The 20th century was a heyday for an abundance of cinemas and theatres in Putney. There is much evidence in accounts such as Arnold Bennett's description of Putney in 1908 that the residents attended these venues several times a week in preference to going up west. The advertising for local shows was pitched at West End quality at half the price. Walking down the High Street from the station, you would have seen the Prince's Cinema at number 113, W.H. Smith's. This was originally used as assembly rooms for Sunday concerts and public meetings, 1901. In 1910, the Mystic Picture Theatre Company advertised that it would be showing absolutely flickerless pictures at last. The venue continued to operate under different names, probably because of increased competition from other venues, particularly the Mirror Cinema in Putney Bridge Road. Afternoon picture teas proved very popular. Further down the High Street, after crossing Putney Bridge Road, was the Palace Cinema at number 23. This opened as the Electric Pavilion Cinema in 1911, and in 1917 was showing films such as Mary Pickford's The Pride of the Clan. The cinema was rebuilt in 1926, which was the latest cinema organ, and renamed as the Palace. It was also renamed as the Gaumont and later as the Odeon, before it was eventually demolished in 1971. The current Odeon Cinema, just before you reach St Mary's Church, was renamed in 2000, after the building was variously an early multiplex ABC in 1975, and prior to that known as the Regal. The Regal, which opened there in 1937, had grand sweeping staircases, a guest organist, cinema club for 7 to 15-year-olds, known as the ABC Miners. From 1948, showing the cartoon Hoppity Goes to Town. In 1949, the Regal staged elimination heats of the beauty competition to find Miss ABC of London. It closed 1971. On the site of the Real Greek Restaurant, on the other corner of Putney Bridge Road and the High Street, was the Black and White Milk Bar, which took a direct hit in the Second World War.
Putney, like the rest of London, was very much on the front line during 1940-45. In 1939, air raid trenches and shelters had been built in many back gardens, and in Wandsworth Park and Lower Common. By the end of the war, Putney had suffered as many as 200 bomb hits and 16 rocket attacks. Sheila Monaghan remembers the air raid wardens being somewhat officious.
The slightest chink of light, they would be banging on the door, shouting, "Lights out!" Thick curtains were not enough. As a schoolgirl, I remember things like exams being disrupted, sharing classes with Wandsworth School, because there was a shortage of teachers, and catching the train down to Woking, where the school had been evacuated.
And on the 18th of September, 1940...
8 at night until 6 in the morning, heaven and earth went mad with noise. The barrage spat into the sky, booming and bursting, and the planes replied with whining bombs and all manner of horrors. All night the swish and whistle of things falling from the sky kept us on alert, but it passed over. The flashes through the curtains looked like endless lightning, and the beastly planes purring overhead made a fantastic accompaniment to the crashing night. Even during the Blitz, people still went to pubs for a brief escape from the anxieties of the war. And the evening of Saturday, 19th April, found the castle in Putney Bridge Road crowded with local people. Late in the evening, it was hit by a high explosive bomb, destroying the building, killing 48 and injuring 141.
Such was the shortage of newsprint in the war that if you took your own newspaper for wrapping to the fish and chip shop, you got a price reduction. Since there had been very few raids in 1942 and throughout most of 1943, people had become more confident, perhaps even complacent, and took full advantage of what little entertainment was available. This changed dramatically in the evening of Sunday, 7th November 1943, after the third period of air raids had started. When the second major hit occurred, the worst incident of the war in the two boroughs, Battersea and Wandsworth, happened. An air raid warning was sounded at about 8:40 p.m, with few people going to air raid shelters. At 9:02 p.m, a lone aircraft released a single 500-kilogram Stabo high-explosive bomb that hit No. 35 Putney High Street, which is opposite the end of Felsham Road, causing great damage along the east side of the High Street.
The worst feature was the extensive casualties in the Black and White Milk Bar on the ground floor of No. 35, and upstairs the Cinderella Dance Club, at the time a very popular venue in Putney for young people. In addition to these, a number of people were killed and injured in the High Street, who had been walking or standing at bus stops. A total of 81 were killed, 46 females and 35 males, with 248 injured, many of them seriously, including 18 service personnel killed and 26 injured. The youngest killed was Edward Henry Smith, aged 14, of 196B Fulham Palace Road. This air raid brought great grief to many families and to Putney, since nearly two-thirds of the casualties were young people under 23 years of age.
From the Odeon, you are a few steps away from St Mary's and Church Square, which is currently regarded as the centre of the town, with war memorial and elegantly landscaped pathways alongside the church, around and down to the riverfront, with many fine restaurants such as Carluccio's, as well as the Boathouse Pub. Its facade is one of the only riverside industrial buildings to survive in the borough of Wandsworth and part of London's lost riverscape. St. Mary's Church is just to the right of the bridge. It has an excellent cafe with good coffee, wines and lunches, and superb cakes. The first reference to a church on the site was in 1291. In the church you will find a permanent exhibition funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund on the Putney Debates, which took place in St. Mary's in 1647. Inscribed in the church itself is the phrase from the Putney Debates spoken by Colonel Rainsborough. "I think the poorest he that is in England hath a right to live as the richest he." Important army meetings often took place in churches, partly because they were usually the largest buildings available, but perhaps also reflecting the belief that they were engaged in God's work. The debates represent a turning point in the struggle for democracy. They took place at a time when the Roundheads were winning the English Civil War. Oliver Cromwell's new model army had bested the Cavaliers, and Charles I himself was in custody. The rank and file of the Roundhead army argued their case for a democratic state based on male suffrage, religious toleration, rights of property, and parliamentary reform. Transcripts of the debates taken by Army Secretary William Clark only came to light in the 19th century. These extraordinary discussions remain as vibrant today as 360 years ago. The exhibition includes extracts from William Clark's transcripts of the debates and how the manuscript came to be found in Worcester College, Oxford, the protagonists in the debates, local fireband preacher Hugh Peters, Putney and the church in the 17th century, The Debates, Democracy and Civil Rights by Geoffrey Robertson, QC, plus an audio narrative with extracts from the debates and description of the exhibition. The exhibition is open most days except during church services. Note the showcase with a collection of items dating back to medieval times, discovered by the Wandsworth Historical Society's excavations at St. Mary's in the 1970s before the rebuilding started. The church and the mid-15th century tower, the oldest building in Putney, Bishop West's chapel, re-sited, and the columns and some of the arches, also re-sited, have survived from the church used by the army in 1647. It had been greatly restored 20 years earlier, when the first of many galleries was added to cope with the rising population. It was crammed with box pews, many of them rented to the occupants of the great houses and their staff. There had been a centre of Christian worship on this site from at least the 13th century. The parts of the medieval church which survive today are the tower, some of the nave arcading, mid-15th century, and the Bishop West Chapel, built in the early 16th century. The church was substantially enlarged and rebuilt in 1836. In 1973, an arson attack gutted much of the church. The tower is mid-15th century, restored in 1845, the 1960s, and again in 1992 after the fire. The stained glass windows, designed by Alan Younger, also date from 1982. The ceiling has fine vaulting.
The Thames has played an enormous part in Putney's history. In the 17th century, a third of Putney's householders were watermen. They would have rowed boats that ferried passengers between Putney and Fulham. The old Putney wooden bridge, built from Putney to Fulham in 1729, was the first permanent one across the Thames anywhere between London Bridge and Kingston. This bridge was sited at an angle to the current one, forming a dogleg around St. Mary's Church, and to recoup the expenditure, levied tolls. There were toll houses at both ends of the bridge. The building of the bridge allowed the establishment of a regular coach service from Putney to the city from the White Lion pub. The current stone bridge was built in 1886 on the line of the old aqueduct and widened in 1933-34. Putney is associated with several literary and artistic figures. Mary Wollstonecraft, author of Vindication of the Rights of Women and mother of Mary Shelley, lived for a time at Putney and tried to drown herself off Putney Bridge when she was deserted by a lover.